All right, we're going to go to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 15, if you'd like to get started there. You know, I've always been, since I can remember, I've always been involved with athletics, and along with that comes competition. So as kids in our neighborhood, we'd always are playing football, basketball, some kind of a sport. And, of course, with the gang all together, what we would do is pick sides, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, as you're picking sides, who gets picked first, the better players or the worst players?
The
best players, right? So if you're picked first, I'm looking good here. I'm one of the better players. And, of course, if you're picked last,
it's so good.
You don't feel so good, do you? You're the last one picked. Well, I'm going to be sharing with you about being chosen or picked, but in a much better light than I experienced with athletics and sports. You know, there's a reality in our life as born-again ones, as Christians, that I really feel tonight I want to make sure you realize and get solidified in your heart and mind of this great truth and reality. And if you do, I believe you will walk with greater confidence and trust in our Heavenly Father. You know, what I've titled this teaching is The Chosen. And let's take a look at John 15. Verse 16, we'll start there. It says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So here's God Almighty. It's not like people are out there, "Hey, I'll take God on my team." But he's choosing us on his team. And of course, this is in the gospel period here. But let's read on. "Not only have I chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth" what?
Grapes.
Fruit, yeah. "And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." That's quite a verse, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that God is out there choosing us. He picks us to be on his team. Verse 19, let's jump down to verse 19. "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you." You know, as believers, Christian believers, as we take a stand, you know, we have a lot of bumps and scrapes in this world, don't we? Because we don't jive with what the world promotes and shares and teaches. But we have a higher calling, and our God has chosen us. Again, we read this in the Gospels, and I know we don't live in the Gospel period. We live in the period of grace that is reflected in the church epistles, right? Well, let me read a verse to you, and if you'd like to read it along with me, you could go to Ephesians chapter 1. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And it says here, "According as he hath chosen us in him," when? Before the foundation of the world, before the game even got started, God chose us to be on his team. That we should be the last player, the weakest player. No, that we should be holy, special, sanctified, and without blame before him in love. Isn't that a fantastic verse? Now, we can buy that verse. We can take that verse to the bank and believe it, because that's the truth. That applies to you and I as born-again ones, that we have been chosen And we are very, very, very special that God would choose us before the foundation of the world. I mean, my goodness, God thought about us before we were even thinking. Wow. That's pretty neat, isn't it? You were chosen by God. You didn't necessarily choose him, but he chose you. And I know there's a point, obviously, in our lives where we had to recognize God's calling for us and for us to make that free will decision to believe him, to confess Jesus as Lord and that God raised him from the dead, Romans 10:9. But by grace you're saved, right? By God's wonderful grace. And we're in his family. And it's a wonderful family that we can renew our minds to live in all the fullness of what God's called us in Christ to be. Let's go to Colossians. You're in Ephesians. Just go over a little bit to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 10. And there it says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You know, we have this new man, this Christ in us, this gift of Holy Spirit, and we renew our mind, because our mind before then was filled with probably a lot of junk. So we renew our mind to God's word of who we are in Christ. Then verse 11 says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." With God, those who believe, get born again, there's no distinction, no prejudice. God's not a racist at all. He doesn't make any difference. Your background, your culture, where you're from, who you are, if you go to him and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're in the family. And it's pretty neat that God in his word would identify all these different characteristics of groups of people. I think it's neat to note here this word Scythian. You know, what's a Scythian?
Well, it's a Hell's Angel.
It refers to, in the day, biblical day, they were the inhabitants of Scythia, which was what we know as Russia today. And they were known as the Hell's Angels, the worst of the worst. If you wanted to really get mad at someone and call them the worst of worst names, you'd call them a Scythian. You Scythian? So... but God just is so wonderful and loving, and it's beautiful how he communicates his love for each and every person. Verse 12 goes on to say, "Put on therefore as a result, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." You know, this is how we function, how we act. This is our lifestyle now. We are the elect of God, as it says here in verse 12. And this word elect of God is really a word that means holy or sanctified. Walter Cummins, many of you know him, wonderful researcher of God's Word, a Greek scholar. He has what is called a working translation in his journal of the New Testament or the church epistles. And this is how he translates verse 3:12 in Colossians. It says, "Therefore, holy, sanctified, and beloved ones, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with merciful compassion, kindness, humbleness, meekness and long-suffering. So he identifies us as chosen ones. We are God's chosen ones. That's what I want you to really seal in the depth of your heart tonight, that God has chose you, and you're the all-star on his team. You mean a lot to him, and he chose you through Christ, and that was quite a price he paid, right, with his son to die for us. And so God really does love us and care for us and wants the best for us. So we are sanctified. We are set apart. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, you've heard me share about what sanctification means. Mm-hmm. You remember what I shared to illustrate what it means to be sanctified? Al? The China cabinet. Yeah, you have your very best china in the china cabinet, right? And you never use it except for special, special days. Well, those dishes are what you call sanctified. They are sanctified dishes. And so you and I are like that. We are special. We're in God's china cabinet, very, very special. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Isn't that a neat verse there? God's foolishness is crazy, you know, is saying jokes or whatever it is so much wiser than anything man could say, and his weakness is stronger than any strong man could be. Verse 26, for you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You know, a lot of times people put down the Christians. In the world's eyes, Christians seem to be maybe weak. But, you know, that's not God's opinion of us. Mm-hmm. And we don't take the opinion of the world to describe who we are. What do we use to describe who we are? Word. God's Word. Amen. God's Word. And that's what we're looking at. That's what we're reading. And if God thinks we're pretty neat, then we're very neat. All right? Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 7 to start there. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You know, in the Old Testament, they had the law. They had all these different sacrifices to cover them until the Christ could come and make all the difference to establish the second. So, verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, And who is this man?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Mm-hmm. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, we've already read that we're sanctified, right? Mm-hmm. So we are perfected forever. God has perfected us in light of the new birth realities that we have within us. And these are the things that we want to really emphasize in our life and not emphasize what the world wants to portray us. It's a good challenge in our times, isn't it? The world's very loud and demonstrative, but God's word stands through the ages, doesn't it? And that's what we believe. That's what we want to hold fast to in our hearts, is what does the word of God say about us? So let's remember, we have been chosen by God Almighty. He chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. And that's a great reality for us to hold on to. So think highly of yourself. God does, right?
Yeah, right.
So he chose us. And he doesn't choose anybody that's bad. He chooses the best. And you are the best. So I want you guys to remember that, all right? And I was so blessed with this song, Our Blessed Assurance. And I thought to close out this teaching, just to read some of the verses here, the words in this song. It says, Blessed assurance, Christ Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, cleansed by his blood. This is my story. This is my song. And what is our story? What is our song?
Praising
my Savior all the day long, right? And the other verse says, perfect submission, all is at rest. As a result of what Jesus Christ did, we're at rest with him. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, who are we looking for? Christ on the way for us, huh? Filled with his goodness, won by his love. God has won us with his love, hasn't he?
Amen.
So we are just a blessed people, and we just can't help but be blessed. Because God has made us so. So Father, thank you for, again, how you love us, care for us, how you've chosen us to be special before you. And may we recognize the value of our lives and hold forth the words of life as we were encouraged to in the manifestations. So thank you for the privilege to hold forth the words of life so that others can walk in the greatness of who they are in Christ. So we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen and amen.